7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and this episode we are going to be doing our sleepers for the 2017 NFL Fantasy Football Draft. And that is Tim making
noises. That's our new sound effect machine. And Josh just bought it.
We are going to start off this one, again, sleepers, but we are going to go with mid-round sleepers for rounds 6 to 10. Tim, did you hear me? Rounds 6 to 10. I don't want to hear guy in the 4th round.
I'm sorry.
You don't want to hear guys in the 11th round, 12th round.
This guy comes prepared today, unlike yesterday, and now he wants to be a smartass about things.
Hey, all I know
is that... Do you have your guys?
My busts were a lot better than yours, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yours were great, Josh. Yeah, you're super.
Just letting you know. All right, so we are going to be doing God, I hate you. The sleepers for this year, mid-round, round 6 to 10. 6 to 10. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow
Should've
us on Twitter.
6 to 9.
You guys can follow us on Twitter.
Rob Gronkowski, motherfucker.
At Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. You guys can go to our website, ponycakesports.com, and always hit us up on our email, ponycakesports@gmail.com. You guys can also check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on their Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we were the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles, a bunch of articles on football, baseball, basketball, wrestling, all that good stuff. So check that out. They sent all their tweets out and everything like that. So check it out. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. But let's go ahead and go to our sleepers for this year. Tom, do you want to kick it off?
We could let Tim start kind of with the shitty version
Do we all have one player in each position for the most part?
Well, I do because I came prepared. I'm not sure about you, Josh. I know Tom likes to come prepared as well.
I have a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back.
Okay.
I have a quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
All right, sounds good. Go ahead, Tim.
I actually have multiple, but I'll just do one so Tom doesn't cry about it. I'm going to go with Phillip Rivers at 10-3. I feel like with the weapons that they've added for the Los Angeles Chargers now, which still feels super awkward to say, and with the Melvin Gordon machine at running back, I feel like he's going to finally be able to be the quarterback that he's always wanted to be. He's always, you know, been good, but kind of been just outside that greatness window. I feel like this is the first year he's going to be great, and getting him in the 10th round, getting a quarterback that's potentially going to be, in my opinion, around 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards passing, and able to fill out all those other positions first, that goes a long way. So I'm going to go with Phillip Rivers at 10-3.
Okay. Did you have another quarterback or just one?
Oh, the other two, I mean, listen, it's right where they should be. But even like a Kirk Cousins at 8-6, I feel like that, you know, could be something. And then even a Derek Carr at 6-8.
I absolutely love this pick, Tim. I'm glad you came prepared today. Phillip Rivers, yeah, he's been notoriously proven that he can go out there, throw for over 4,000 yards, throw over 30 touchdowns. His biggest issue last year, though, was his turnovers. 21 interceptions, 5 fumbles. That's a big negative effect on your scoring for a quarterback. But I like the additions that they added across that offensive line. Got the two best guard prospects in this year's draft. Got a solid running game, invested in another big-time receiver in Mike Williams for Phillip Rivers to throw to. I think the arrow is pointing up, and I think people are sleeping on Phillip Rivers right now.
One guy that I'm going to go with is ranked a little bit higher than Phillip Rivers. I do like that Phillip Rivers pick. A lot of weapons, like Tom said, and just like you said, a lot of added people. But one, Ben Roethlisberger, he's going off as a 10th quarterback, and it's kind of tough to say that he is a sleeper of sorts, but if you're looking at his draft position, he's getting drafted after Derek Carr. He's getting drafted after Cam Newton, who had a bad year last year. Russell Wilson, who I think is going to have another down year this year, is another quarterback that is getting taken above Ben Roethlisberger. Plus, a couple of the other things that I'm looking at with Ben Roethlisberger, he does have weapons that are back this year. Martavis Bryant is back from suspension. They drafted a wide receiver. Ladarius Bumgreen is now gone, and they are going to go to more four wide receiver sets. And in my opinion, that helps out Ben Roethlisberger more than it hurts him overall. So I think he's going to have a very good year. And him going off as a 10th quarterback is completely fine. And I understand where he's being ranked at. But I could see him having a top 6 quarterback fantasy season with all those extra added elements. Plus, he's definitely going to improve from his last year ranking, which was 18.
I'm glad that I didn't just speak while you were talking, because this is why we shouldn't drink before the show, Josh, like you and I did, because you said Ladarius Bumgreen, and I thought like Ladarius Bumgreen was a person, and I'm like, why don't I know who this Ladarius Bumgreen is that Josh is referring to? I agree with you. I don't know if I would necessarily consider Ben Roethlisberger a sleeper, because of the weapons that he has there, having an Antonio Brown and a Lev Bell, and just being on that team. He's always been, I kind of think he is what he is. I don't know if I would ever necessarily call him a sleeper. But with that being said, I love me some Big Ben. He was on my team last year. I had that Big Ben AB connection, and it was fantastic.
The only reason why I'm going to say that is because I think that these ADPs are going to be flip-flopping very, very soon. You will be seeing Kirk Cousins being drafted ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. You'll be seeing Jameis Winston being drafted ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. I've been in drafts and mock drafts that I have seen that happen with. Matthew Stafford, you will probably see him get drafted above Ben Roethlisberger. He did finish last year at number 7. Eli Manning is a possibility. I think people still stay away from him. But it is possible. And then also with Marcus Mariota, with all these extra added weapons, he could move up as well. I think Ben Roethlisberger, by the time fantasy drafts do start, his ADP will be 12 or later.
For Big Ben, for me, he's the perfect guy that you want when you are streaming quarterbacks. Like Josh said, I really think his ADP will drop as well. I think he'll be the 11th, 12th quarterback off the board. You could pair him with a Phillip Rivers, and you will be golden. Big Ben, when he is at home, he is a complete monster. On the road, he has struggled, but the addition of Martavis Bryant is huge. In his history with Martavis Bryant in the lineup, he averages over 3 more fantasy points per game. Martavis is a changed man, big-time believer in him this year, and if you get Big Ben and a Phillip Rivers and you could play the matchups, only start Big Ben at home, you are going to be sitting pretty. And that is a strategy that I have been using, and it's a strategy I will be using in this year's redraft leagues.
He's a changed man, as in he only now smokes during the offseason.
That's fine. As long as he doesn't get caught.
Next up, Tom, who do you have?
I'm going to go with a running back. Mike Gillisley from the Patriots, right now being drafted as the 29th running back off the board at pick 79. You know, the Patriots, they're one of the hardest teams to predict what the hell they're going to do on the offensive side of the football. They're coming off a Super Bowl win, and they completely revamped their offense. Brandon Cooks was a big-time addition. They got him in a trade. But I think the biggest addition is one, Mike Gillisley. The Patriots kind of get a rap that they don't run the football, but that's not true. Last season, they were 3rd in the NFL with 482 rushing attempts, 7th with 1,872 rushing yards, and 5th with their 19 rushing touchdowns. Their leading rusher, LeGarrette Blount, from last season is gone, so someone's going to have to take over that role. I think it's going to be Gillisley. I don't think he's going to have the same type of season that Blount had last year, but I think he's going to get a big majority of that workload. You just got to look how productive Gillisley has been with the opportunities in the last few seasons with Buffalo. Last two seasons, he had 148 attempts that have gone for 844 yards, and that's a 5.7 yards per carry average. And he's also had 11 touchdowns. Imagine the type of numbers Gillisley could produce if he's given 200-plus rushing attempts next season in that high-powered New England offense.
I think this might be a Tim pick, Tom. I don't really care for it. I feel like you are reaching quite a bit. I do like Gillisley, But, you know, you think of the names that the only person that has really seen a lot of success in the New England backfield is LeGarrette Blount. You know, you can go through so many names just recently, say the James Whites of the world, the Deion Lewis's of the world. A lot of guys that are still there, that are still in that backfield that Gillislee's going to have to split time with. I like Gillislee. I think the Patriots regret making this signing. I don't think they wanted it. I just think they were looking to make Buffalo overpay, to be perfectly honest with you, and he kind of fell into their lap. And now the situation is what it is. They'll utilize him to the best of his abilities, the very same way that they do with all of their players. But this, like you said, you took the words exactly. He's not LeGarrette Blount. He's not, and no one is. He's going to have to split time. Bill Belichick does not fall in love with any one thing, and with as good as Gillislee is, I do not see him being someone that I'm necessarily targeting into this draft.
The one thing that Gillislee does have, other than the other Patriots running backs,
he's white.
Is that no?
Okay.
Is that he can actually run the ball in the red zone and around the goal line. Now we did see running back James White do it in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, but at the same time, Gillislee has proven that he can put the ball in the end zone when he needs to. And there is no other running back that is that big and that capable of doing it other than Gillislee. And I think that 18 touchdowns is completely out of the realm of possibility for Gillislee, but 8 to 10, I think it's definitely doable, and that's all you're looking for. I mean, you have running backs such as Theo Riddick that is getting drafted ahead of Gillislee, I believe, correct? Or right around that?
Right around there.
Yeah, one pick difference. Adrian Peterson, who's not even in the starter, is getting picked above Gillislee. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not saying those guys should be drafted in front of him. I just don't know if the sleeper title is something that I would put upon him.
I don't understand how you think that. He's being taken as a 29th running back. I think there's a legit chance he could finish in the top 15 this year. So if you're getting that much of a difference, how is that not a sleeper?
If you think he can stay in if you think that he's going to finish in the top 15, then I just think that's a stretch. That's all. All
right, you got another guy?
I do. I have a guy who's being drafted very late in the 8th round. Potentially sometimes even into the 9th round, depending on where you're looking. He is actually suspended for the beginning of the season. One, Kenneth Dixon. This is a guy who I am very, very high on. Josh and I, a couple years back, were extremely high on Jay Ajayi. I remember, like it was yesterday, Josh, when you and I were having to defend ourselves, and people were asking us, why are you so high on this guy? What makes you think that he's going to be a good guy? And you and I both, it was weird because we never agree and we never get along, but both were like, just watch him run. Watch how hard he runs. Watch how hard he hits the holes. And that's the same exact thing I see with Kenneth Dixon. If he can have that, you know, come to Jesus moment, if he can have that grasp and get through this kind of bad time that he's had to start his career, this job is his for the taking, and he is an absolute freaking beast. I am anticipating him to come in, immediately snatch that job from Terrence West, and run with it and never look back.
Is his suspension 3 or 4 games?
Four games.
So the first quarter of his season is gone, but I do believe that he is going to blow up. This is going to be a guy that, if you're smart, if you're going to take, if you're going to get you still want a solid number one. If it's me, I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go a solid number one. I'm going to get a solid number one wide receiver and then fill a space somewhere in the 3rd, 4th, maybe even 5th round with another running back, and then look for Kenneth Dixon late, because down the road, Kenneth Dixon is a guy who I have no doubt in my mind is going to win a lot of teams' championships.
Tim, for the first time this whole week, I agree with you.
You agree with my last pick.
It's
Phillip Rivers. That's 2 in a row, young man.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm on fire this week.
Kenneth Dixon, he's got a lot of upside this year. On ESPN, he's the 47th running back off the board. Super deep. But this guy, I think our trajectory for his season's a little different. I think it might take him a little time to get that starting job away from Terrence West. Terrence West, he's a serviceable running back, but nothing special, and that's the difference between him and Kenneth Dixon. And there's a reason they didn't add another running back in the draft. They brought Danny Woodhead in to get some of those receptions since they lost freaking like 70% of the targets from last season. But Kenneth Dixon, he's a player who can catch the football. He can run in between the tackles, got good size. He's got the size that you want for a bell cow running back, 5'11", 215 pounds. Very good athlete, underrated in college. I absolutely love this pick, Tim.
That leads me to my next question I was going to ask you, and this is kind of unrelated to the sleeper aspect, but if Dixon does not have a year that he thinks he's going to have or that Baltimore wants him to have, do you think that Baltimore does move away from him then and go to a rookie running back in the next year's draft? Because we know we've talked about how deep and how good we think that running back draft class is going to be for 2018. Is that a very strong possibility?
Well, they're going to have to, right? Yeah. I mean, realistically, listen, something's going to have to, their offensive line hasn't been great. They tried to address that a little bit here in the offseason, but predominantly went defense. Again, very similar to the Seattle Seahawks, which we talked about earlier in this week. But they're going to need that to take the pressure off Joe Flacco. They're going to need a running back, and like you guys have talked about at length, the 2018 draft is going to be absolutely ridiculous in terms of running back value. So, yeah, if Kenneth Dixon comes out there and he puts out an underwhelming season and doesn't show any signs of life, absolutely. You know, he's had his issues with staying on the field for, and it's not health issues, and then he doesn't put up numbers, 100%. But, you know, Kenneth Dixon's the type of guy. It sucks. I laugh just looking at Tom. So in our Keepers League, you know, Tom is right before me in this window, right? In that late eighth to early to mid ninth, Tom's right in front of me. And you know that Tom is that type of guy that, you know, we might potentially both be targeting a Kenneth Dixon. So, you know, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. He's going to be one of those guys that not a lot of people are thinking about. And come championship week, come playoff time, it's going to be people scratching their heads saying, how the hell did I not see Kenneth Dixon?
With, like, Dynasty and Keepers Leagues and everything like that, where would you guys put him in relation to running backs with, let's just say, with the rookies this year? You have Christian McCaffrey, you have Joe Mixon, you have Leonard Fournette, Samaje Perine, you have a couple other guys. Where would you be putting him in your rankings of those running backs?
If it was like a dynasty draft and Kenneth Dixon was in there as well, I would be taking Mixon, Fournette, McCaffrey, then Dixon.
Interesting.
Out of all the rookies.
I think I would be Fournette, McCaffrey, and then probably Mixon with 1A or 3A, Dixon, 1B. I can see Mixon and Dixon being very similar style running backs here down the road.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mixon's way better.
We'll see.
I'm going to go with a running back, and I'm going to go with a guy who's been around the league for a little bit, just got a couple new additions to his running back backfield, Jonathan Stewart, coming off the board as the 41st running back. We did talk about Christian McCaffrey. I mentioned him as one of my busts for this year. I just think Jonathan Stewart being drafted as the 41st running back is really absolutely ridiculous after guys like Robert Kelly, Theo Riddick, Paul Perkins, Amir Abdullah, Matt Forte, CJ Procise, Kareem Hunt, Duke Johnson. I just think that's outrageous. He's getting picked in the late ninth to 10th round, and I just think Stewart is still going to be a part of that offense, and I think Stewart was asked to do too much when he didn't have somebody to take some of the carries away. We saw what happened when D'Angelo Williams went away. They tried to use him too much, got hurt with the additions of McCaffrey, and I did it again. The other guy's name?
Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel. I think that we're going to see a resurgence of Jonathan Stewart. I'm not going to say he's going to be a top 12 running back, but I think him being drafted as the 41st running back is absolutely outrageous, and I can easily see him finishing as a top 30 or even a top 2 running back option.
Josh, I love and hate to do it. I have to disagree with you big time. The main difference between all those guys that you mentioned and one Jonathan Stewart is Jonathan Stewart has a multitude of things working against him. He has his age working against him. He has his health working against him. He has his predecessor already being there working against him. He has the offense that he's running in with so many other... A guy like Jonathan Stewart, you would see him being like, okay, well, they brought in this young kid, but they'll still have Jonathan Stewart there to be like the red zone guy. Well, you still have Cam Newton, and you have your big body wide receivers, and you have a Greg Olsen. You already have all these other red zone guys. Jonathan Stewart's... It's going to be so hard for him to identify his role in this offense with all the other pieces that have been added. Unfortunately, it's an oddball out situation, in my opinion. I love Jonathan Stewart. What he's done for the Carolina Panthers organization, I feel like, is not talked about enough through being with D'Angelo Williams and through being there for all these years. He's one of the... When you think Carolina Panthers, you think Jonathan Stewart. At least I do. But I unfortunately think that this, you know, for the 41 ranked running back where he was drafted, I see him going that way again.
I actually think that his ADP, this is another guy that I think his ADP is actually going to drop as it gets closer to the draft as well, because there's going to be so much McCaffrey hype, and then you're going to have guys such as Chris Thompson, Alvin Kamara, Joe Williams, Jamal Williams, those type of guys. You're going to start seeing those guys move up the draft boards.
Yep.
But I think even – and then if Jonathan Stewart drops to 46, we'll say, I still think that is tremendous value. Tom.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Josh, I agree with you 100%. Right now, I think Jonathan Stewart's kind of getting that Frank Gore treatment. His game, it's not really sexy, but he produces fantasy points.
That's a very good comparison.
He's up there in age, but you got to look at his role last year. He didn't catch the football. I think he had under 10 receptions the whole season. And that's going to continue to be his role, especially with the addition of Christian McCaffrey. But I think people saying that he's not going to get the goal line work and that he's not going to be used in that four-minute offense to bleed the clock out, I think they're idiots, in all honesty. He should be drafted... There's no reason I don't think Paul Perkins should be drafted above him. I don't think I'd draft Stewart over LeGarrette Blount, Theo Riddick. In all honesty,
you would take Jonathan Stewart over LeGarrette Blount.
In PPR leagues, I really don't want Stewart. But if it's a standard league,
would take Jonathan Stewart over LeGarrette Blount. That is an outrageous statement.
Stewart had 21 targets last year.
I don't mind the comparison of Stewart versus Frank Gore. But Frank Gore was still the only option in Indianapolis. There was no other realistic option there for them. That was it. This is a totally different situation. I see where you guys are coming from, and I genuinely hope that I am wrong about this. I really do. I would love nothing more than to hear you guys make fun of me about this and Jonathan Stewart get 10 to 12 touchdowns. I just think it's really unrealistic.
Do you take anything away from Coach Ron Rivera and Jim Skipper, which is the running backs coach, and they have said over and over again consistently now that the role that Jonathan Stewart played last year will not change at all? We all know that Christian McCaffrey is coming in, and he's going to be that pass-catching back out of the backfield, but with them saying that, does that change your mind at all?
What do you want him to say? Jonathan Stewart's not going to be a part of our team whatsoever, and Christian McCaffrey's just going to be the guy. No, they're not going to say that. Of course you're looking to draft him, right? No, they're not going to say that. It's not really. Listen, when it comes to all those other guys that you mentioned being drafted and who potentially will be drafted in front of Jonathan Stewart, I just think of upside and my team on a week to week basis. If I end up shooting myself in the foot and not drafting an old beat down running back who potentially doesn't have a role with his team anymore, then shame on me. But I feel like all those other guys that you mentioned, all of them have a bigger upside than Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan Stewart still has a role, Tim. Like, I don't understand why people are saying he doesn't have a role. They signed him to an extension after they knew they were going to draft a running back.
Sure, they still have to have an... They've been trying to work Jonathan Stewart out for the last 3 years.
Redraft league, all right? Redraft league. Yeah. We have Jonathan Stewart, mm-hmm. and we have Joe Williams. Who would you draft? Redraft. Mm, yeah. Not a dynasty, not a keeper.
Yikes. Redraft is tough. Because I have, and Joe Williams, I have that Jordan Howard feeling that I had last year that I was right on. But if you're wrong, you screw yourself, right? Yep. So that's a head versus heart situation. I think the smart play there, you have to still take Jonathan Stewart.
Redraft league, we have Jeremy Hill and Jonathan Stewart.
Wow. I'd like to see how those things play out a little bit more, but I would have to take Jonathan Stewart.
Redraft league, Robert Kelly or Jonathan Stewart.
Another one, you know, 4 weeks from now, I'm sure I would change my mind.
James White or Jonathan Stewart?
Jonathan Stewart.
Those are all guys getting drafted ahead of Jonathan Stewart.
And these should all be easy because Stewart has his role. All the other running backs Josh mentioned don't have a role yet.
To be fair, you didn't name any of those guys prior. And what I said is the other guys that you named.
Correct. So. True, but... Those are other guys too.
Those guys are different. When you mention a Jeremy Hill who's been hot garbage.
That's all I'm doing. I'm just proving a point that these are all guys being drafted ahead of him or will be drafted ahead of him.
Josh, we win this argument.
I know. It's a moot point at this point.
We'll see.
Did we have another one?
Yes. I got a couple more. I'm going to go with my tight end, though. I got tight end Hunter Henry. He's being drafted at 118, tight end 11 off the board. You know, the Chargers have notoriously been good at producing number one tight ends in fantasy football. They always seem to find ways to get tight ends involved, and Phillip Rivers absolutely loves to target them in the red zone. Look at the last three seasons for the Chargers. They've averaged 142 targets, 93 receptions, 1,067 yards, and 12 touchdowns to their tight ends. Antonio Gates is approaching the twilight of his career. We saw that the few seasons.
That's in his rearview mirror.
And I think Hunter Henry, the young buck, is ready to step up and be the future for the Chargers. Look, his touchdown total last year was pretty high, 8 touchdowns on only 36 receptions. But I see Henry taking complete control of the tight end targets and looks in this offense. I think he's going to be used more in between the 20s and in the red zone where he was extremely efficient last year. I think him going off as tight end 11 is a little absurd, and he should be shooting up draft boards. We've seen a lot of tight ends in their second year, not their rookie year, completely blow up and become legit number one options.
I love it, Tom. I really do. I'm all about the LA Chargers this year. I've never been a huge Charger supporter, but what they've added, what they're bringing back, it seems like it's the perfect storm for them to have that shocking year where they win, you know, 12 games and make an AFC championship run, you know, and play the Patriots.
Colts, you mean?
You wish, young man. it'll be fun. I think it's going to be a fun year to be a Chargers fan, and I absolutely love the pick.
I just think it's funny that you look at Hunter Henry, 8 touchdowns last year. Antonio Gates, 7 touchdowns. Like, if Antonio Gates wasn't there, what would have happened with Hunter Henry? Could he have hit that 15-touchdown mark? Could he have hit 12 or 13? Man, it would be very interesting to see. We're still going to see Antonio Gates this year.
He'll be there.
And CTE scans were created for people like Antonio Gates who play this long into their career. He's that old.
We'll see what happens, and I still like Hunter Henry's chances. If Antonio Gates wasn't there, I would like it even more.
Okay, I'm gonna go now.
Okay,
I'm gonna go with a deep sleeper. Because now I've made two good choices today that you guys respected. This one's not gonna be one of those. This is gonna be one that you can make fun of me.
Probably gonna be Antonio Brown or something.
But this is one where the ball has to go somewhere, right? This team's not going to get shut out every single week.
Cameron Meredith.
No.
I know it is.
Quincy Enunwa. 10-11 is where he's roughly being drafted. He showed a lot of signs of life last year. And the odds are the Jets are going to be down by a lot of points, a lot of weeks in a row. They're going to be probably a 2-3 win team. but they're going to have to pass the ball, and someone's going to have to catch it. And I look for Quincy to be, or was it Ryan Anderson's the one who had the legal trouble, right? Isn't that his name? I think it was Ryan Anderson. I could be wrong. Look it up while I'm
Robbie
talking.
Anderson.
Robbie Anderson, thank you. I don't know who Ryan Anderson is, but I hope you stay out of trouble, young man. Regardless, I feel like Quincy's the person, if you're struggling late in the draft and your wide receivers aren't strong, or you know, you're looking for other possibilities for a rotation guy for that number three wide receiver, Quincy's the guy at end of the 10th round, early 11th, that I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I have approached this multiple times saying they have to throw the ball to somebody.
They do.
And I look at the year with the Baltimore Ravens, right? Kamar Aiken is a perfect example. They needed to throw the ball to somebody, and who did they throw it to when they had nobody else? Steve Smith went down. Nobody else was there. Kamar Aiken was the guy.
Kamar Aiken single-handedly kept me out of last place.
Yeah, so that right there is a testament to this. I think Anunua is still somebody that can catch a ball. I'm just afraid of who is going to be throwing him the ball, because we don't know.
Yeah, it's really tough. He was on the field a lot for the Jets last season, kind of came out and was a starter pretty much day one. It'll be interesting. I'm going to have to personally dive into the Jets wide receiver core. I know they've added Ardavius Stewart from Bama in the draft.
He's out right now. Yeah. I think he had to get surgery. So
it'll be interesting to see, but right now on paper, he should be their number one guy.
He's by far their number one guy.
But he's also not the traditional outside wide receiver. He's more of that slot wide receiver, the bigger slot role. But it'll be interesting. But they're probably going to be down quite a bit. So they're going to be having to throw the football. Look back at the Kamar Aiken. You could look at the Jaguars a couple years ago when Bortles was just throwing nonstop in the fourth quarter.
Alan Hearns.
Yeah. So it's possible. I'm definitely not going to hate on this pick.
You lose a Robbie Anderson, a Brandon Marshall, and an Eric Decker. It leaves you only with a Quincy Anunua.
So I'm going to do my last one here, and it's going to be a wide receiver, and it is Devontae Parker for the Miami Dolphins being taken as the 45th wide receiver.
Did Mike pay you?
No.
Okay.
Being taken in the late 9th, mid-10th round around that area. And I'm going to keep it inside the 10th round because that's what we said, 6 to 10, not 11.
Mine was 10-11, dickhead.
11. So he's a little bit later than that. He's like 12. But regardless, Devontae Parker here, a lot of reports going on in the offseason talking about how they want to get Devontae Parker more involved in the offense. Ryan Tannehill also saying that Devontae Parker has been leaps and bounds a lot better since last season. If he stays healthy, I think he will have a huge, tremendous year. And I'm looking at some of these other wide receivers. I think he could easily beat out more than a good handful of them to possibly be a wide receiver too. I'm looking at him as a low wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three, if you're comfortable with that. I'm just looking for a big year out of him.
Parker, you have to be paying attention to this man come draft day. He's going late. You got to just look at his physical attributes. He was a first-round pick for the Dolphins. They believe in him. He's had a slow start to his career, been banged up with injuries, struggled with injuries in college as well. But when he was on the field last year, this man was good. He had multiple 6 games last year, double digits scoring. He could score touchdowns. He's that big physical threat that the Dolphins absolutely need in that offense.
When he was drafted by the Dolphins, this is also a guy that was a top 3 pick in rookie dynasty leagues.
Yep.
So you also have to take that into account. Plus, Tom, what have we said over and over again? Year 3 is the year for wide receivers. So
hear that, Mike? Year 3. Speaking of Mike, he was one of the people who was completely sold, I believe, on Devontae Parker, his rookie season. All I've heard about Devontae Parker is he constantly hurts people. Just constantly people thinking that this is it, this is going to be the year, and never lives up to his potential. Hopefully this is the year. I personally would stay away from him, but Josh, I don't mind the pick of him being a sleeper.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is a very odd situation. We have Brandon Marshall that left the Jets, who is now on the Giants. What are your guys' thoughts on Brandon Marshall? Because he's a guy that could be a sleeper. He's a guy that could be a bust, right? He's like that in-betweener. And he's being drafted as the 31st wide receiver. I saw somebody in a mock draft yesterday pick him in the fourth round.
That's nuts.
Who was also a part of another a group that knows fantasy football. And
Tire Wire?
No.
Oh.
And they took him in the fourth round, and it was their number two wide receiver.
That's way too rich for me. If he's my flex wide receiver three, I'd be okay with it. We've seen what Brandon Marshall can do, especially in crowded wide receiver groups. He normally does better when he's not labeled as the number one, or he has other options there as well. And he has that with OBJ. OBJ is going to get a lot of the double coverage. So he'll be lined up in single coverage most of the time, and he is a viable red zone threat, something the Giants have needed. But I just don't know if he's going to get the amount of targets that he needs to be a wide receiver two in fantasy football.
There's just so many mouths to feed. Yep. There. And another guy that I would personally stay away from. I actually like Sterling Shepard a little bit more than I like Brandon Marshall. I feel like Sterling Shepard has the opportunity now to make that big step, because the pressure is going to be off of him. He showed signs last year of being a very, very talented wide receiver. Let's see if he can build on that.
Anybody else?
I got one more. Got wide receiver Jeremy Maclin being drafted at 110 overall, wide receiver 46 off the board. You know, Dennis Pitta's 121 targets are gone. Steve Smith's 101 targets are gone. Kamar Aiken's 50 targets are all gone. That's a lot of targets to make up for in Baltimore. Jeremy Maclin, in my eyes, is the number one option in Baltimore. Over the last three seasons, the number one wide receiver in Baltimore has averaged 125 targets, 75 receptions, 1,008 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Those are better numbers than Terrell Pryor had last season, and he finished at wide receiver 20. Those numbers aren't crazy, but it gets the job done, and he could be a quality, low-end number two wide receiver in fantasy football. Someone has to catch those footballs in Baltimore, and it can be Maclin.
I love this pick, Tom. It was actually one of my picks, and I said, hey, I'm going to do Jeremy Maclin. And Tom said, no, I want to do Jeremy Maclin. And so, of course, Tom won because I have to look like the dummy. So good for you, Tom.
Yeah, they have to throw the ball to somebody, but I think a lot of people are actually forgetting about Mike Wallace as well. And I think Mike Wallace is still going to have a role. There's a lot of talk about Breshad Perriman as well. And I really hope Perriman puts it all together and can do something for this year. But I think Mike Wallace, as much as I hate him, I think he still will have a role, and I think he'll still be a factor. But PPR formats, Maclin is my guy to own on that team. And I think he is going to really outperform his current ADP on where he's at. So could definitely be a sleeper, wide receiver three, definitely. And in a PPR options, low two if he gets the targets that we think he's going to get. You got another one?
Oh, you want me to do another one?
Sure, dummy.
All right, another one that I will go with, getting drafted earlier in the sixth round in a lot of mocks. One of Tom's guys, actually. One Dante Moncrief. Very, very undervalued, in my opinion. Has the ability with a stud quarterback to be a solid wide receiver, too, if he lives up his potential and he can stay on the field. I like Dante Moncrief to come up this year and have a big season.
I love Moncrief playing in that high-explosive Indianapolis Colts offense. He catches touchdown passes. That's straight up what he does. He's one of Andrew Luck's favorite red zone targets. Pretty much catches every ball thrown to him inside the red zone. I think his upside is high. His injury history is a little worrisome. But this is a contract year for the man. He tested out of the roof at the combine. He's an athletic freak, and he could be that big-bodied red zone target for Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck's going to throw probably over 40 touchdowns this year, so I could see Moncrief okay. catching 10 of them.
How many touchdowns did he catch in how many games last year, Tom?
I think it was 7 touchdowns in 8 games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's dirty.
That's like, you add that up, that's 14 in a full season, Tim.
Thanks for the math lesson.
I know you're not good at adding.
Oh my God, Tim is going to slap someone. Yeah, I agree with the Moncrief assessment there. I'm a big believer in Moncrief. It's so disheartening and so upsetting to see him get hurt year after year. And again, this is his third year coming in, right? Or is this his fourth?
Fourth
year. And if he was able to stay healthy, I'm very excited to see what Moncrief can do. But it's tough. Like, it's kind of like a Doug Baldwin situation. You take him because, you know, he can really excel and really score points. But there's always that factor. Like, I mean, it's a little bit different than Doug Baldwin, because with Doug Baldwin, you take him and you're like, shit, I got Doug Baldwin. I really don't want him. Moncrief, you take him, you like him, but he's probably going to get hurt by the end of the year. So.
It's all true.
Anything else, guys?
That's it for me. That's it.
All right. That's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed our 2017 fantasy football sleepers of the mid rounds, which is 6 to 10 plus the one that Tim did in round 11. So
it's like 13.
Look out for the episode next week where we will be doing sleepers again, and they are going to be late round sleepers, which is going to be rounds 11 to 16. And then, Tom, what are some of the other shows that we have on tap? Do you remember?
We got some fantasy bold predictions. Trying to remember. We got some more rankings coming out. We got to update those. It's been almost a month since we've done them.
We have the Chargers and Broncos breakdowns and late round sleepers next week, gentlemen. And
then the week after that, we're going to have some more team breakdowns.
The Raiders and the Chefs, I believe.
The Chefs. And then the QB rankings, tight end rankings, and the week after, we got running backs, wide receivers, and then some camp talk, because Woo! It is going to be rolling on through.
Holy bejesus.
Hopefully that starts settling some of our position battles and really, really decide on... I mean, you look at some of these teams, right? You have a Danny Woodhead. You have a Terrence West. Who's going to be the guy to own in the first four games before Kenneth Dixon comes back?
Terrence West.
Danny Woodhead.
See, and the thing is, I don't know if we're going to be able to figure that out.
I don't know if you're going to be able to figure it out.
Until after camp rolls through and then we see what happens. And then you're going to have situations where it's going to be Dalvin Cook and Layabouts Murray. Is Layabouts Murray going to be the guy? Is Dalvin Cook going to be the guy? Are we going to see Bradford line up more in the shotgun? Because if so, then I think we will see more of Cook in the backfield compared to Layabouts Murray.
You got Samaje Perine, Robert Kelly battle in Washington. That's going to be fierce.
Joe Mixon and Jeremy Hill.
That's settled already.
I'm just saying.
Bilal Powell and Matt Forte. We think we know, but the different things are coming out of that camp right now.
Jordan Howard and Big Daddy Cohen.
See how Josh and my boy Jonathan Stewart's lining up with the Panthers.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen with Camp Talk, and it's very exciting and 3 weeks away. I'm pumped. I know you guys are, and it's going to be very exciting to see how it all goes down. Plus, the other big backfield is the New Orleans Saints, Mark Ingram, yep. Adrian Peterson, and one Alvin Kamara. I'm kind of coming around on Alvin Kamara.
No way.
I am. I really am. Not as running back, as like a receiving guy.
What is he going to do?
He is practicing.
And don't forget about the... go ahead.
He is practicing with the wide receivers in training camp right now.
And don't forget about the 87 running backs in the Seattle Seahawks depth chart. That needs to all be resolved.
Plus, who knows what happens with the goddamn Denver Broncos. A lot of ifs, a lot of what is going to happen, and training camps are on the corner. It's going to be fun. And it's going to be a lot of stuff that we can talk about, and I'm pumped for it.
Can't wait.
So, all right, guys, that's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed. Again, you guys can follow us on Twitter, at PonyKickSports, at PonyKickTom, at PonyKickTim. Hit us up on our website, PonyKickSports.com. Email us, PonyKickSports@gmail.com, and also check out our buddies on their website, which is CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on football, baseball, basketball, wrestling, all that good stuff. So if you like to read good stuff, check them out.
And they also have the final round of the Ray Charles Memorial Mini Golf Tournament in Mayfield Park. Make sure to check that out.
Also, did you guys see the poker hand. Sorry to keep this going, but did you see the poker hand in the big poker tournament, the $10,000 buy-in or whatever?
No, I have a life, so no.
So, all right. Well, I was watching it. It was freaking crazy. She had pocket aces, and the other girl had pocket sevens. They do the flop, ace, queen, seven. Next card, seven.
Next quads, card, ace.
No, that would have been something, but no. Quads versus a full that house, sucks. Aces full. She almost folded the aces full of sevens. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. But yeah, Cleek Geeks also covers poker, so check that out as well.
Well, thanks for that update, Josh. All right, Cleek Geeks.
That's all we got for you. Have a good one.